I guess there are children that need to be taken out so they can devil the teachers. Now we've got good children here. They just devil mom and dad. I was actually working on this message a few weeks ago, and I didn't get it finished, so I had prepared something else. But this is the one the Lord wants me to share this morning. The Apostle John wrote the Gospel of John. He wrote 1st, 2nd, and 3rd John, the small epistles. And he wrote the book of Revelation at the direction of the Lord Jesus Christ. The other books are written under the direction of God's Holy Spirit. There are some thoughts that I would like to share with you. In 1st John, first small epistle that he wrote, Chapter 2, verse 17, it says, "And the world passeth away, and the lust thereof, but he that doeth the will of God abideth forever." He that doeth the will of God abideth forever. Now, I've told you in the past that there's a war going on, or I've told you that we are at war, as I have had some time to talk to the Lord and think and meditate about things over the last several days, I was able to more carefully consider some of the things that are involved in a war that we are all involved in. And we are all involved one way or the other. You see, externally, we are all fighting in a battle. Oh, we're not using swords or guns, but we are engaged one way or another. And I came to the realization that my will was colliding with God's will. My will was colliding with God's will. For most of us, there's been a time when we have surrendered to God's will. But there have also been some times when we've tried to tell God what to do or how to fix something. And lately, I have found myself trying to do that many times. The thing about God's will is that you either accept it or you become an opponent of God's will. And there's nobody here who wants to be an opponent, because God always wins. As I've read the Bible, I've noticed that one particular man was almost completely surrendered to God's will. Not completely, but almost. And his name was Paul, the apostle. Time after time, he introduced his communications with the other churches that he planted and founded and knew about with the same statement. Yeah, let me show you what I'm talking about. I'll give you four examples here. 1 Corinthians 1:1, Paul called to be an apostle of Jesus Christ through the will of God, and Sosthenes, our brother. In 2 Corinthians 1:1, Paul says, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God, and Timothy, our brother, unto the church of God, which is at Corinth, with all the saints which are in Achaia. Colossians 1:1, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God, and Timotheus, our brother. In 2 Timothy 1:1, Paul says, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God. according to the promises of life which is in Christ Jesus. Paul was who he was by the will of God, and he had surrendered to that will. Now, every one of us, myself and you, have been called of God to do his will. But when we do not, our will and his will collide. Now, Paul may have had some other plans for his life. I don't know that he would necessarily wanted to be an apostle, but that's what God chose for him. And you and I have the same choice, same kind of a choice to make about our lives. There's so many references to the will of God throughout the Word of God that I would like for us to look at this morning. And in order to fix a principle in our minds, I want us to look at these and think about them. But fixing the principle about the will of God in our mind is not enough. It has to be here. It has to be here. And so that's what we want to think about, all of us. There are many verses about God's will in both the Old and New Testaments. I want us to look at a few of them. John 1, 11 through 13. John 1, going back to the Gospel of John now. John 1, 11 through 13. He came unto his own. Excuse me. He came unto his own, and his own received him not. But as many as received them, him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name, which were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. Oh, what a wonderful will that God has for his children. Excuse me. Now, the reason that we're taking time to look at what the Bible says about the will of God is so that we will recognize when our wills get contrary to the will of God. Like I said earlier, I found myself in conflict with God's will when I had been seeking his will. And many times we say things, we say the right words. Oh, we say the right words, they come from here. But they don't come from here. Because here there's a war going on. Flesh is arguing with the spirit. Spirit with the flesh. When God imposes his will upon a situation, sometimes we become frustrated. We get frustrated with the overall situation because we are trying to impose our will upon God. And we don't realize that, but we do. In Ephesians 6, verses 5, Paul says, "Servants, be obedient to them that are your masters, according to the flesh, with fear and trembling, in singleness of your heart as unto Christ. Not with eye service as men pleasers, but as the servants of Christ, doing the will of God from the heart, with good will doing service as unto the Lord and not unto men, knowing that whatsoever good thing any man doeth, the same shall he receive of the Lord, whether he be bond or free." I hope that we would recognize that our relationship to God makes us all servants, all of us. There are no kings, no rulers yet. The day is coming when there will be, and you will be, but not yet. We're still servants. We're still working our way there. In 1933, there was a science fiction book written by Richard Balmer and Philip Weil called When Worlds Collide. In the 1950s, it was made into a film. The film scared the audience. As scary as it was nothing compared to when wills collide, especially when it's our will and God's will. Souls are at stake and eternity is involved. No soul succeeds when it collides with God's will. God will have his will done, as in the Lord's Prayer. Have anybody here ever prayed the Lord's Prayer? Yeah. Let's look at two verses. After this manner, this was Jesus teaching his disciples, his followers. After this manner, therefore, pray ye, Our Father which is in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. And what are the next words? Thy will be done. Yeah. It's the prayer of all our hearts. I'd like for us all to consider the fact that if we are attempting to do our own will rather than God's will, that we are probably sinning. Peter ties this kind of action back to what Jesus did on the cross and all the things that were done to him before. I came to recognize this as I was trying to tell God how to fix my situation. My will was colliding with God's will. Are the terms in the Lord's Prayer what we really want? Or do we want what we want rather than what God wants? That's a question that we all have to deal with. Would you choose sin over the will of God? And people all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. All have. Every one of us. And at that time, we were choosing our will over God's will. In 1 Peter 4, 1 through 12, we're told, For as much then as Christ hath suffered for us in the flesh, arm yourselves likewise with the same mind. For he that hath suffered in the flesh hath ceased from sin, that he no longer should live the rest of his time in the flesh of men, to the will of God. Satan is always ready to intercede, and he loves sound systems and school buses. Okay. If you have either one, you're going to have problems with it, especially if you're using it for the Lord. We have to have the mind of Christ if we're going to observe the will of God. How can we do what God wants if we don't approach the situation like Jesus would? I believe that part of our problem is that we don't use Scripture to provide the solution. We look for the easiest way out for our own benefit. God's Holy Spirit showed me that I was pleading with God for the solution that would be best and easiest for me. And that's human. And if you will look at the two things on the end of your arms, you are human too. Because you will see flesh. There's a chapter in Romans that begins with a command and moves on to some kind of activity for us. Let's look at the command and then the activity. Romans 12, 1 and 2. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is good and acceptable and perfect will of God. It's all around us, folks. It's all around us. The genuine Christian should desire the perfect will of God. Just like the second verse says, the problem we all have from time to time is that we want our will to be done. And we ignore what God might want. We all know scripture verses that should help us, but we either don't apply them or we don't practice to make application of the verses. People, we're supposed to do the will of God, not ignore it. We're supposed to do the word of God and not ignore it. And at certain times, we do ignore what God wants to use of his word in our life to be a blessing and a comfort. Who did Jesus send in his place when he knew he was going to be leaving this earth? He sent the Holy Spirit. And what kind of a name did he give him? Comforter. People, he is. He is our comforter. And he does a good job when we let him. So many times we get in his way. We may quote a particular verse just to show everyone that we know what the word says. But we may miss what we really need. And let me show you an example. Jimmy and I often quote Romans 8:28 back and forth to each other. But I want to start one verse early. I want to start at Romans 8:27. And he that searcheth the hearts knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit, because he maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God. And we know that all things work together for them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. The Holy Spirit knows. He's in us. He's there to help us. He's there to give us strength. He's there to give us comfort when we need it. I've found that there are times when the Word of God hurts emotionally. We don't necessarily like that. I don't. We'd like to avoid that kind of hurt, and in trying to avoid that kind of hurt, we sometimes forget what God's word tells us. And we miss the comfort that he has provided to each of us through his word. We do. It's sometimes hard to be thankful for some of the emotions that God provides within us, because we are hurting. But that is the time when we can be closest to God. That is the time when he is the only one we can reach out to for what we need at that moment. That's why he's there. That's why he has given us his Holy Spirit. There may be no one else able to comfort our broken hearts. 1 Thessalonians 5:18, we read, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. And people, every one of us can apply that. Every one of us. Let me read it again. 1 Thessalonians 5:18. In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. In everything give thanks. Jesus Christ is able to meet every single need that we might experience. The best way to get to Jesus is through thanksgiving. There are times when we lose track of that truth. The best way to get to Jesus is through thanksgiving. We permit ourselves to sink into despair, and we pull up a defensive shell around us. And in doing so, we shut God out. But he's always there. He's always ready to minister to our needs, no matter what they are. He is always ready to provide strength. So many times we try and operate in our own strength, in our own wisdom, as though we had any. And he's just waiting. He's waiting for us to turn to him. The Holy Spirit is in our hearts waiting for us to turn to him. We don't have to go to heaven to get to God. He's in you. If you know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, the Holy Spirit lives in your heart. And he's just waiting to minister to your needs. God doesn't expect his children to form that shell and go into that shell and cut him off. God sent his Holy Spirit to be the comforter that we need in any situation. Connect with him by thanksgiving toward God for his mercy and for his grace. And we all have enjoyed both, God's mercy, God's grace. The real problem is that most of the time we find ourselves in turmoil. We try and figure out how to fix it. We are looking inward, not upward. The fix is not here. The fix is there. No matter what the problem is, no matter what the hurt is, no matter how deep the despair may be, the fix is not here. The fix is up there. And that's where we need to turn. And God will intervene. He will. We ask for God's will to be done, and then we want God to do things according to our will. We ask for the right thing, and we may even want it when we ask, but the fact of the matter is that we are looking within ourselves for answers instead of looking up. 1 Peter 4:19 tells us, "Wherefore, let them that suffer according to the will of God commit the keeping of their souls to him in well-doing as unto a faithful Creator." And folks, I want to tell you this morning, God is faithful. He is faithful always. No matter what the pain, no matter what the disease, no matter what the tribulation that you find yourself in, God is faithful. He will care for you. God is always going to be faithful. Many times we operate in our own strength and then wonder why we can't get through the situation successfully. God wants us to hold on to him. God wants us to hold on to him when we need strength. Does that mean we don't have sorrow and despair? No. That means that we're going to let go and let God. Let go. Let God. Things are going to be different. Pray that things will be according to God's will and God's word, because the two have to come together. God's will is written in his word. And so, folks, we need to pray that God's will and God's word be done in our hearts and in our lives. God will get the deserved glory that he should get, and we will be in the place that we are meant to be. Praise the Lord for his will. Praise the Lord for his will. I know we're early this morning. I think you can excuse me for being short. Father, I'm so glad that I belong to you. I'm so glad that our people belong to you. We come to you, Father, when we're hurting, when we need comfort, when we need strength. And Father, you are faithful. Thank you, Father, for loving us so perfectly. Because we ask you these things in Jesus' name, amen.